All right, well, this is this prayer. This is we're going to read the prayer of Paul and then our response to it. This is one of the great prayers of the Bible. It starts in Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this is the prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, whom he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. Now, you got to hear this. When this is, first of all, if you obviously see, it's about his calling, his inheritance, his purpose, his riches. It's all about him. But this is the thing that you've got to see. I don't know how to explain it. I've caught Helen. I've caught a Helen disease. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't pick on you like that. All right. He's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Now, you got to go back to, in order to understand that, you got to go back to Genesis, when God told man to name everything. Now, what we then believe, we don't necessarily believe it, but we put our twist on it, our own little turn, is if we can name it, we are have dominion over it. Can you understand that concept? If you can name it, you can in a very real sense internally, you can name it, you label it, therefore you can control it. It can be used. It can be manipulated. Okay. Now, his name is above every name that can be named. So, obviously, he can't be manipulated. Now, what does that mean to us? It means, in my opinion, it goes back to Isaiah, that he shall grow up before us as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. There is no beauty that when we see him, we should desire him. So there is never an opportunity to name him in us. We cannot know. For us to say, what would Jesus do, is to name him. And have, therefore, dominion over him. Therefore, we can judge others if they don't meet the same name. But there's no, this is critical in our understanding, deep, deep gut level. He is above every name that is named. Not name of persons, but name of things, name of environments, name of universes, name of anything. Can you sense the importance of this? I may not be able to explain it right, but I'm asking you to open yourself that it might connect with something deep inside you that you probably already knew. Because every time you name something, That name has then a form, and that form is a type of idolatry.
It speaks deeply to me that I have no control over it, even if I exert myself to try. That is, deluding myself.
Okay. By definition, when God asked Adam, he didn't ask him, he told him to name everything. That was the risk. The risk of God wasn't even being born a baby or becoming a sperm cell. The risk of God was giving Adam the authority to name. Now, if you don't believe me, let's go to Genesis 3:22.
What if we do believe you?
Huh?
What?
What if we do believe you? There's stuff to go there.
It's a Kevin thing? All right.
Sitting in wait seat.
It's a Kevin thing. No matter where you sit. Genesis 3. No, we always want to name it. We always want a name, no matter what it is. We want to name our thoughts. We want to name our situation. We want to name a need.
I want to name the topic of this conversation.
Once you name it, you have the solution. Once you name it, you
can control it. No, let's stop with the cliches, okay? Let's stop putting a whole series of names on it so we have a cliche about it. In verse 22, chapter 3. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. It's an incomplete sentence because the consequences of now, lest he put forth his hand and eat of the tree of life after he's eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, is too, from God's perspective, is too horrific to even complete the sentence. As you know, I believe that there was another creation before us. It was the kingdom of Lucifer, or the pre-Adamic man, the pre-Adamic age. And that's what Lucifer's kingdom did. They ate both of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And they were instantly spiritualized, and the world was destroyed. And they then became, they were spiritualized. They're locked in space without regard to time, but they can never touch eternity. And that's that spirit world that Christ had to be tested in order to then ascend to eternity. Now, fortunately, we don't have to be tested in that because he completed that test. But you've got to understand from God's perspective the incredible evil of the knowledge of the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the fruit of the tree of life, eaten together, is horrific beyond comprehension. And it has to do with naming, because in naming, you then automatically judge it. Am I communicating with anybody?
Naming a fruit of the eating of that tree of knowledge of good and evil.
No, it's not a fruit of it. But he wouldn't have even had the capacity to do it until he named it. He wouldn't have even known had the capacity to eat of the tree or to have an option unless he named it.
So he named it before he ate
it. Yeah. Now, this is what happens in our situations. No matter what condition you're in. My knee hurts. Your knee, my hip. No. No matter what condition you're in, you name it. And once you name it, then all hell breaks loose. If we could come to a place, and I'm talking to me as well, if I could come to a place where I would no longer name the condition I was in, or anybody, that I no longer named it, then I would no longer have the capacity to judge whether it was good or evil. It just was what was, what God was doing with me at that time for His purpose, and the purpose wasn't my business. That is true dependency. That is true faith. You no longer name. It just is. It's what is. It's what is. It's what is. Now, it's almost nigh unto impossible for us to conceive of that as a state. But it's what I talk about when I say, well, that's why Jesus said, except you be converted and become as that little child before self-awareness, before naming everything that they may have liked something or not liked it, but it just was. Except you be converted and become as that little child, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. Now, if you don't understand this, let's talk about it because it's critical. But hold your questions because we're going to continue here because I want to get to a point before, so you'll have something to think about until tomorrow. Okay? Now, let's go back to Ephesians. You can see the same risk in Genesis 11. I think it's, no, or Genesis 6. Wherever, no, Genesis 11 with the Tower of Babel. Okay, now. In verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Okay, now watch. And you hath he quickened. The word quickened means you have been made alive. You were dead and you were made alive by being born again. And nothing about you or me or anyone that about our previous selves has any worth because it's now passed out the draught. Now watch. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, the word is nekros. Again, you were dead. Just like we've been talking about. The whole human race is dead in trespass and sin. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. What is the course of this world? It's everything your mind tells you to do. Everything your mind has as an option. That's why Jesus said, "You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination to God. The things that are highly esteemed among men are walking after the course of this world, and all of us." Walked after the course of this world in time past. Unfortunately, some of us go in and out like we're playing ping pong. When in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Not according to you. You thought you were doing something. The prince of the power of the air, that's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we had our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in His mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, that's the entire gospel. It's everything you need to know. Now, you're only concerned with his inheritance, with his calling, with the riches of his inheritance. You're no longer in the subject of this prayer, where in time past you did, because you self for self. That's the basis of sin. That's all you could think about. Every idea was an attempt, at self-realization. Every thought, every process that you could go through, every plan, every plot, every cunning device. In a few verses, that says what I've been trying to say for the last few weeks. Unless you don't believe it. You were dead. 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 All men died on the cross. What? Is it dead. Penetrating?
Dead means dead, yeah.
Then how can you be concerned with yourself? How can you become the subject of your sentence? You see now, every time you are, that you've given breath back to the one who was killed by the deadly head wound? Can you see why repentance has to be leaving all of you behind? John? No more clouds, no more doubt there? I mean, pretty clear. You said you liked this book. This Ephesians is equivalent to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament in type. Because Ephesians is the book of walking in the newness of life. Most of the other stuff, books are about... You're stupid. Went back to the darkness. Why? What was it about the darkness that you went back to? What did you like back there? Michael?
The reason why I resist this is because talk about being in a position where it looks like to me I'd be completely lost. No ideas or plans or thoughts.
No, the reason you resist it is you're evil.
Yes, but...
On the other hand, there is no other hand.
Yeah, just that emptiness.
The emptiness is called faith. That's why you have to be sick unto death of everything that your mind or your senses can tell you before this comes to light. The problem with Michael, and maybe others, maybe one or two others that may be listening, is that you are sick of it, but you're afraid of the next step.
That's what I keep thinking about. We talked in Bible study one time about the king, I think it was Josiah, who made them tear down all the high places,
that's
engravings, and all their
gold.
Idolatry. And I just thought, man, they must have just been completely lost.
Except Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is all. That's why you were created.
It's like think, no, this is good, and I believe it, but what's in it for me?
I wonder how you knew that.
Yeah.
Michael was thinking
about it. I like the way it sounds.
Can you see that you're not your own business? That's the basic message. Judge not even yourself. You don't look at yourself. You don't think about yourself. And this thing about naming is critical. Because you got to quit naming stuff.
Oh, my hip hurts. Oh, I've got a dealie. Oh, I've got whooping cough. Oh, I've got whatever it is.
It doesn't matter. You don't name it. It just is what's there for His purpose. And that's called faith. And I promise you, you got to know this. I mean, I've made a million screw-ups. But fundamentally, this is the way I've lived since the day I became a believer. And He's faithful. You never have to worry about yourself again in your life. And that's the only thing to follow in me. I said so often. What?
No, I go back to abandon yourself. When we hear that and go, yeah, that's pretty good. Except that now I got a decision to make about this or about that.
No, you don't.
But abandon yourself. But it just, it's the pinpoint of the walk.
A believer never, ever, ever has to make a decision. Yeah. You better be careful when you say that, Gary.
No, I believe that.
Huh?
I believe that. I might not always.
I don't expect you to always perform it. I don't either. But but by the grace of God, I always repent when I don't. No, that's this thing about naming is so. You know, name your condition. Oh, I'm confused. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm in doubt. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. Oh, I'm this. It's just goofy.
You're naming yourself with every one of those points. I am.
Right.
I
am. But again, it's a naming, and I'm not telling you that you're going to be able to not name. I mean, that's not the point. I just want to give you a hint of what repentance really means. If repentance was manifest in all of us to the extent that we can by His power, then we would never again name. And if we did, it would just be utilitarian for a minute, you know, it'd be using the world but not giving it any breath. But it's freedom. It's beyond freedom. And this is where every heart's desire is fulfilled, because there's no more room for you. But as long as you name, then there will always be you'll always retain room for you. And the ones that are most guilty of the naming are the ones that are victims. They have to name everything. Any additions, Miss Josanna, or subtractions, or expansions on the tale? How about an amen?
Amen.
Gary?
What's your problem? That's what I'm thinking. You know, when you ask that question, it's like, what's your problem? What do you have to say? This really goes way into the core of abandonment.
Well, just go back to that incredible little sentence of Christ. I'm starting to start like Jan Crouch. That little...
A little chicken jam.
Except you be converted and become as that darling infant, that little child, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Now, the mystery of God is that when at our death,
at our physical, when this thing goes away, then he's still there preaching, if you believe what Peter said. I mean, so that's why I'm saying Jim might be in a totally 1,000 times better place than we are. In fact, probably is. But, and his need is there to see whether or not we will lean on our own arm of understanding, whether we will take it to as something that's really good, or we will just be. You're taking up the mantle of Kent for Helen.
We must never ignore the needs of people or turn people away, but I judge that we're exerting ourselves to help someone. Sometimes we're deciding that this is a need and we've got to figure out how we're going to.
Next time you feel that way, say something. I mean, that's what I keep telling everybody. If you feel it, say it. Just don't say it. Don't say it unless the person you feel about is present. Otherwise, you become a murderer. No more tail bearing.
Tests our conditional love. We get love and give as long as there's appropriate behavior. If you cross these certain lines, then our love is
tested. Oh, we're excellent at that. We can do that 24 hours a day. We're good. Behave this way, then I'll love you.
Yeah. We certainly don't want God to treat us that way.
Absolutely not. All righty, that's enough. I'm tired. Take a big guy.